It's the Popcorn Boys. And we're coming in hot. We are coming at you live from a different apartment in Culver City, California, and Detroit, Michigan, home of the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm Kyle Jameson. With me is Daniel Tranter. And Daniel?
Yeah?
Are you part of the Western forces of Texas and California?
You know what? I'll do whatever benefits my country, okay? USA! USA! USA!
So you're American.
So you're an American.
What kind of American are you?
Listen, Kyle, let me tell you. I'm here in Detroit, Michigan, where tomorrow greatness is on the clock. And let me tell you. I've never felt more like an American than I am tonight. I mean, here I am in Detroit. I mean, there's people, there's all sorts of white people in football jerseys around. You know, we got Buffalo, we got Washington, we have, I did tell you this, I did walk into an LA Chargers draft party tonight where there were, I would say, maybe six people. It was
electric. So many more than I would expect to be there.
Well, listen. The Chargers have a foothold here because of their new head coach. Of course, there are some fans here.
All right. Okay.
You know, it didn't quite feel that way though. It felt like, you know, there were, I would say, six or maybe seven people who had made the trip from Los Angeles and or San Diego to, come be in the great city of Detroit, to go to the Breakman, a bar that you've been to, by the way, the place where you have to buy beer with
tokens.
Yeah,
I like that place.
It's no, it's fine. But like, why are we buying beer with tokens? And also, why is
I didn't like that part? But other than that, that was fine.
It was fine. But that was the bar where I sent you a photo of that. Access Hollywood was on one of the TVs. where there were multiple playoff games going on, and also the Tigers were on TV. But we were watching.
Did you ever watch the video I sent you?
Oh no! Should I do that now?
Sure.
Wow, this would be exciting. Why don't you vamp a little bit? Why watch a video Kyle sent me hours ago?
So, you say there were Los Angeles Charger fans at a bar in Detroit. I can't imagine any. There wouldn't be anyone at a draft party in Los Angeles. Any Los Angeles Charger fans? Just an insane idea. All right, did you get to the end?
Oh man, that is good stuff. Oh man, that is it. That is sort of the epitome of a video that you and I would enjoy. Wow, good stuff. Well, not sure if anybody could hear that, but
yeah, I couldn't from through the phone, but
probably for the best.
Maybe got picked up.
Probably for the best. What were you saying aimlessly while I was watching
Donald? I was just vamping. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, a pleasure to be back with you. I am hogging the spotlight here because, you know, greatness is on the clock here tomorrow, and that is for sure. But I'm stealing the limelight from you because this really should be about you. Since the last time we recorded, he's drinking a smart water. Now, that's so interesting to me. To drink a smart water feels like such an aggressive choice. Did you buy that?
Well, you know where I got this.
7-Eleven.
No. Come on. Put it together. Top 10 snacks.
Oh. At the movies?
Yeah, of course.
Who gives smart water? Do they all?
Huh?
Who gives smart water at the concessions? Do they all do that?
I don't know, but the Cinemark in Playa Vista sure does.
Wow. I miss it. I miss it.
Yeah, the choice. They have smart water and Dasani as options.
Well, that's insane. When you walk in... I've been meaning to ask you this since I moved. When you walk into a movie theater, are people sort of like whispering, like, do you think he's here? Do you think he's here? Do you think he's here? And then when they see I'm not with you, they all get very sad.
They're like, did the Popcorn Boys break up? Is it two separate podcasts now? Did they split?
Listen. Listen, greatness is on the clock, but there's greatness standing before me, and that is you, my friend.
Aw.
We haven't recorded since you famously ran the Boston Marathon. Well, we say ran a little bit of walking, but, you know.
Just say he could have just said finished, completed the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, he finished the Boston Marathon, something we've been talking about on this podcast for like for a year, right? I feel like I've been making fun of you about this for, you know, for a year. But now it finally happened. I flew to Boston to see you finish the marathon. You did it. What Popcorn Boys episodes did you listen to while you were running from... Hold on. Let me see if I can remember this. When you were running from... Hopkinton,
there you go.
To, you know,
Boston.
The finish line. Boy, the finish line on Boylston Street, where I have to say, right outside of beautiful new Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, just, you'd never seen anything like it in your life. Just open the day before, and that is smart marketing.
Had the pleasure of actually checking out that Dick's Sporting Goods, did you not?
I sure did. Went in there with my two new best friends, your two oldest nephews, and it was a dream. It was a pleasure. It was a day. It was an unbelievable.
Not my two oldest nephews.
Well, I know. I know when I said that, I realized your two oldest who were there on the day. A dream.
To answer your question,
yeah,
I did eventually listen to some Popcorn Boys.
Yeah.
During some of the real rough parts.
Now, were they the rough parts because of the podcast, or, you know, chicken or the egg?
I'm trying to remember when I like turned it off completely, because I was
turned what off completely? The podcast or just like your AirPods?
Everything. I didn't complete an entire Popcorn Boys episode. I listened to various other podcasts throughout the early stages of the run. And then towards the end, I played episode 2 of the Popcorn Boys, which I believe was the 2021 box office draft episode.
I mean, the fact that you didn't come in first place listening to that, unbelievable. I guess it was too late at that point. Was this before?
I mean, I thought maybe it would propel me to the finish.
Was this before or after Heartbreak Hill?
It must have been
the Boston Marathon now. Truly sick.
Must have been after Heartbreak Hill.
Yeah.
I think it was after that, because, you know, I probably listened to it for maybe a half hour or so, 45 minutes.
And that's all you could take. And that goes for most of our listeners, I think.
And eventually I just decided it was time to take in the crowd fully as I willed my broken body.
I see what you did there.
Handful of miles.
I get it. I wasn't expecting to like be as, I mean, we talked about this in person, but like, I wasn't expecting to sort of be as emotional as I was about the whole thing. And then, of course, you say, wow, you emotional. What a surprise. And it still is to me sometimes, you know?
You surprise yourself.
I surprise myself sometimes. It's really beautiful. But it was, what an experience. What a thing to be there for. It really was a special thing to see you do this absolutely insane feat that, like, you just decided to do. And for a worthy cause, I mean, more than worthy, obviously, but like, it was, it was very special. It was very cool to be there. And I was honored to witness, what you did. It was incredible.
Well, I was, equally honored and touched that you made the journey.
Thank you.
The sport, particularly, with the weekend that you were going through at the time. So
thank you. My grandfather did die. Thank you.
We're just gonna have a little sob fest on the pod.
No, I'm beyond crying. I've cried enough the past week. Now, will I cry again thinking about all of this? Yeah, probably. Will I cry again thinking about the box office draft? Yeah, probably. But, you know, here we are. I mean, life just takes you down all these twists and turns, you know?
I will say, I don't remember exactly where I was, but I remember the moment where, you know, whatever, because I just had the podcast playlist. And, like, yeah. When it switched to the Popcorn Boys, I was pretty down bad at the time. And, like, I hoped I would, like, start laughing or something. And I was just like, this is insane. But I think I stopped listening to it because there were so many people, like, cheering and stuff that I could barely hear it anyway. So I wasn't. But the idea of, I'm just remembering back as I was just, like, you know, dragging myself down the street while listening to a 3-year-old episode of my own podcast feels just truly maniacal and fitting.
I know. Do you feel like you brought it up to people over the course of the weekend about, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna listen to, like, my own podcast, and, like, this guy needs, like, a lot of mental assistance, and, you know, we will be getting that for him. But of course, I understand. Happy to have been along for the journey in multiple ways, you know?
In multiple ways?
Well, I was there in person, and then I was also in your ears.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Wait, do you know, there is a big controversy. I think we talked about this. There was controversy that when you passed the big group at mile 15 in Wellesley, where, first of all, have we talked about the porta potty situation? Listen, I'm not trying to get too down to the Boston Marathon, an event that, like, I do, very special thing, you know, the city of Boston, you know, not for me, but the
mayor. Oh, so the guy who loves the city of Boston.
No,
do I need to bring up texts about how much you loved Boston when previous time you went to
visit? Listen, oh God, listen, Boston's fine. The people of Boston have treated me well. It's whatever. But the porta potty situation at the Boston Marathon is something that needs an intense examination. Your brother and I had to walk, I would say, approximately 45 minutes to find a toilet. And then we had to wait in line for another 45 minutes as some woman, I hate to say it, absolutely shit her brains out in a porta potty. And then we had to walk.
Was it a runner?
All the way back. Listen, huh?
Was it a runner?
No.
Now, which, was this when you were in Wellesley or near the finish line?
No, this is in Wellesley. This is when we were in Wellesley. But I will say there was some controversy. Well,
when I was in Wellesley last year, I just went, there was, like, a cafe that I went.
Well, right across the street, right? Probably that we tried.
No, not that one. On the side that you were on, but a little further down. I, like, went in and, like, bought a coffee and then just used their bathroom.
You should have
talked to my dad. I'm sure he had this all scoped
out.
Oh,
no. I mean, are we going to talk about your parents? But there was, I will say, so your brother and I did that, and then we came back. And, of course, I would say probably about 10 minutes later, I did have to go to the bathroom again. So I was like, where am I going to go? So Daniela and I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And so we found this, like, physical therapist office that was, like, right next door. We're like, oh, let's just go in here or whatever. And one of the most genius marketing things in the history of the world is to have your business open on marathon day. And people are like, can I use your bathroom? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And then when they come out of their bathroom, like, does your back hurt? Are you out of shape? Really? I mean, it wasn't quite that, but, like, the guy who,
they're like, we're going to pitch you while you're here.
Oh yeah. The guy was fucking neck deep in clients. It was unbelievable. But then I felt bad because I did send your dad there to go to the bathroom, and he came back and said, that place is closed. And I said, well, okay. Must have found their clients for the day. Did get the chance to meet your parents for the first time. Really unbelievable. Something that, and I guess I wasn't quite prepared for, like, when we did meet for the first time, how much of the conversation was going to be about movies. Now, well, have they listened to an episode of the Popcorn News? Do they know that you do this podcast?
They are aware, yes. They do not listen. they have listened at some point, but
I mean, I will say, after having met them, I don't take offense to that because I truly cannot imagine them trying to figure out how to listen to a podcast.
What's that supposed to mean?
Let's move on. The hospitality shown by the Jameson family all weekend, truly exceptional. It was great. Honestly, just incredible.
Now, we did have a conversation at dinner.
Yeah.
With my parents about everyone's favorite movies. I believe you asked when you weren't busy talking about Baby Jessica or whatever.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I need, okay, everyone listening to this, all five.
Oh, yeah, this is important.
If you know who Baby Jessica is, write me. Text me. Leave a note. Leave a comment on the show notes. If you know who Baby Jessica is, let me know. Thank you. That's
and
all.
And if you don't, also let him know. We need like a...
Well, right. Yeah. Yes or no. Yes or no. Let us know.
Just text one of us, Baby Jessica, yes, or Baby Jessica, no.
Oh, God, Baby Jessica. Anyway, yeah, we were talking about movies.
Yeah, my parents had some good picks for their favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Do I remember them? I think my mom might have landed on West
mom.
Side Story.
Your mom is the biggest West Side Story fan on goddamn planet Earth.
Yeah. She saw it like 10 times when it came out theaters in 1961 or whatever year it was.
Loved it. Yeah. And your dad loves like a Gene Wilder thing. He loves his magic.
Well, my dad rattled off, like, we were like, what's your favorite movie? And he was like, he just started listing 20 movies that he likes. It was great. It was exactly how I expected it to go.
Yeah. I mean, he started listing off like 20 movies, and then he was like, so, how do you park around here?
He's rattling off lines from The Russians Are Coming, from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. You know,
I mean,
beautiful.
Your dad's obsession with parking, it's incredible because I never felt more at home. You know, it's just like, I know this. I know what this is. I get it. Are you showing me your ass?
No, my phone tipped over.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was great. Just incredible. Just an exceptional experience with the entire family. Could not have been more thrilled. What do they say about me?
So the box office challenge standings. no, they were psyched to meet you and you know, could feel the love.
Hey.
No, they loved you. What are you talking about?
They were psyched to meet you and could feel the love. Oh, great. Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's feels about right.
I'm texting Trevor.
I hope you didn't get his number.
No, but Trevor and I were, I mean, all three nephews and I who I met, I mean, we really bonded on many different levels. I mean, just great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, goo, what other levels?
It was mostly goo. I mean, it was mostly goo. What else was there? I mean, Cal and I had a dance competition, you know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then you guys, I mean, it's a very interesting situation. Like, when I was at your brother and sister-in-law's house, surrounded by a group of straight people who are watching their favorite musical clips, it's a very uncomfortable thing to be the straightest person in a room full of straight people.
Look, get on board with the musicals, man.
No, I just can't. I was biting my tongue a little bit because I didn't want to like make a bad first impression. But when everybody's going on and on about Lin-Manuel Miranda, it's like, oh my God, give it a rest.
Good morning, Usnavi.
Oh my God, Hugh Jackman wasn't supposed to sing, and then he sang. No one's gonna have any
so
idea
good.
what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, nothing. What's new? What's new? Listen, it was a beautiful time. Had a beautiful time with the Jameson family. I could not be more proud of you. It was a lovely weekend. And
it really was.
Yeah,
it and really thank was. You once again for coming.
Of
Okay,
course.
enough marathon talk.
Okay.
It's time to get in to the box office challenge.
Yeah,
by the way, with this
is what
episode, we're
really
eventually.
This is what really matters.
Eventually, we're going to talk about the movie Civil War, which we both saw yesterday.
I know, interesting.
And if you're waiting for the payoff, that was what my opening tease was about. I don't think we ever mentioned that we were talking about the movie Civil War, but, you know.
Who cares?
The Western forces of Texas and California. All right, current box office challenge standings. Team Daniel has $394 million. Leaving him in second place.
Fuck, what?
He has number one at the box office, which is Dune Part 2 with $277 million.
Yeah.
But his other three movies have not performed particularly well. That's
Fair
an
enough.
understatement. That is an understatement. You
Yeah,
do have
we
the
heard
Fall
you.
Guy opening pretty soon.
Let's go. Let's go.
Team Kyle in first place with $626 million.
More
with a difference of $232 million at the moment. Now I've had one, two, three, four, five of my movies out versus four for yours.
I'm not concerned.
But three of your four are pretty low down on the list.
I'm not concerned at all. Now I
Well,
do.
maybe you should, Billy. You should be, because I just saw the did you get in front of Civil War, did you get the Bad Boys 4 trailer?
God, yes, I did.
Yeah, gotta make bank, baby.
You know,
Will Smith is so back.
We talked about it so many times on this podcast, but I need to bring it up again. The fact that Will Smith got up on the Oscar stage and slapped Chris Rock is the most insane thing that has ever happened in the world. I mean, if you take a step back and think about that and remember that moment, unbelievable. I mean, to be alive at that time, to witness that, to be in the moment. I mean, we saw it together.
We did. That's true.
That Will
I didn't
Smith
think it was real for a
got
long
up
time.
on, Will Smith got up on stage at the Oscars and slapped Chris Rock.
I was convinced it was a bit for like hours.
We all were. Didn't we do a podcast after the Oscars where we're like, I don't know.
I thought, frankly, I'm still not convinced it was real.
But I think I thought about that because when I was watching the Bad Boys trailer, which I had not seen before, and I did see for the first time before Civil War, I was like, wow, Will Smith is a movie star. And also like, wow, Will Smith, like, on that night, all he had to do, he won an Oscar. He won his first Oscar. All he had to do was not slap Chris Rock. That's
Well,
all he had to do. That's all he had to do is not slap Chris Rock, and he would have been so good. He would have been the biggest star in the world. And is he still? Maybe. But, like, it's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating. Like,
incredible stuff. Because, like, yeah, you watch that trailer, and you're just like, ah, Will Smith. Like, he
what's
just
the line at
carried,
the
like.
end? It's like, well, I forget now. It got a laugh
Yeah,
in
I'm not.
the theater.
I mean, everything was hitting.
I know. I've never seen a Bad Boys movie, by the way. Have you?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the first two. I didn't see the recent one.
Why'd they call that one For Life? Like, save that title for the fourth one.
Bad Boys 3 was called Bad Boys For Life.
Wasn't it? I think so.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I mean, God, these people are insane.
Short-sighted there, huh?
What I remember from the trailers, they're still like playing paintball or laser tag or something. And, you know, Martin Lawrence is happy to be getting a paycheck. And Will Smith is like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. But He's back. Will Smith is back.
He's so back.
Will Smith is so back. There he goes again. Oh, his phone fell down. We should be recording these. Well,
we are.
The video.
Well, we are recording.
I mean, we're barely recording the audio. Let's be honest.
Well.
Oh, look at your kitchen. Nice.
Okay, again, we're not putting out. This is not a video podcast.
Kyle is recording this. This is the first episode we record in Kyle's new apartment.
Also the first episode we recorded since O.J. Simpson's death.
Oh.
One of the stars of The Naked Gun. We should have watched The Naked Gun.
Hold on. Episode. The fact that I haven't brought this up yet is absolutely unbelievable. This might have to be a whole other podcast. I wrote a story today. Have you seen this?
Your story?
No. No one has seen my story. But the... I wrote up the story. I think TMZ did the story as well today because I think I saw that you guys had done it. But this is what I'm talking about. But the story about the Owen Wilson turning down $12 million to be in this OJ movie. You guys wrote this. I'm not sure if it was on TMZ Live. But anyway, so
yeah, it was not. I have not yet seen this story.
So Owen Wilson, if you believe this guy Joshua Newton, turned down $12 million to appear in a movie about OJ. But that's beside the point. That got me to a teaser that came out yesterday for a movie called The Juice, where Boris Kodjo is playing OJ Simpson. And the entire premise of the movie is, quote unquote, from the director, "We believe Nicole just got home at the wrong time." And the entire movie is about essentially framing OJ as being innocent, but it's satirical and it has been in production for a decade. I don't even know where to start, but they put out this teaser. Hold on. I'm going to send this to you. Hold on.
I need to watch it.
It is one of the great, I mean, we will be doing an entire podcast about this, of course, when it comes out. He says in 2025.
2025. Oh, Owen Wilson, apparently the quote is, "If you think I'm going to take the lead role in a movie about how OJ didn't do it, you got to be kidding me."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
No. Wow, I can't play OJ.
Wow. OJ innocent. Wow. OJ innocent. Wow.
Okay. The headline for this.
I wrote it. Thank you.
OJ Simpson gets zapped by electric chair in teaser for upcoming film. Do I need to watch this teaser now?
Sure. We couldn't embed it for some reason. We had to hyperlink it. But if you want to listen, I had to fight to write this. I was like, no, this is insane. No one else is writing about this. It came out yesterday. No other outlet has written about this teaser. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's only 30 seconds. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. You're not prepared for what you're about to see.
Cool. Hold on. I'm sitting through an ad. Okay. Here we go. What?
Why this isn't the biggest story on earth and is insane to me. Why I'm the only person who's written a story. I'm literally the only person who's written a story about this. I swear to God. Like, no one else has written about this. Like, the teaser has like 600 views on YouTube. Like, no, it's insane.
I love that you just stumbled into this. Like,
I know.
It was released yesterday.
Well, I think I know.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
He looks just like
him. It's not bad. It's not bad. Well, Boris Kodjoe was cast as OJ in 2018. And they People Magazine revealed the first look photos of Boris Kodjoe as OJ in 2018.
There's somehow only 8 comments on this video.
Well, there were 2 when I looked, so I think I drove 6 of those to the trailer.
The top comment is, "What in the holy devil's burning red asshole was that?"
Oh God! It's
wow.
Just, I cannot wait for the juice episode.
The juice. Douglas McCann, a street smart. Oh wait, so this is the movie that Owen Wilson was supposed to be in?
Correct. Yeah. So Owen Wilson was supposed to play. Well, I mean, was supposed to play. According to the director,
they tried to get him. Okay.
I don't really believe anything that he said, but he was supposed to play this guy, Douglas McCann, who was some like conspiracy theorist who became sort of like a infamous guy during the trial in 95 or whatever. Like, who knows? It's the entire thing's insane. Like, I don't know.
Now, are you a subscriber to the OJ's son actually did it and he was just covering up for him theories?
No.
As far as conspiracy theories go, that's a pretty interesting one.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something very quickly, and then we can get on to Civil War. I think, like, in writing about the trial a little bit after OJ's death and, like, sort of, like, really thinking about it, like, digging into it for the first time in a while, I do think he could be innocent. Now...
Oh man.
And am I kidding about that? I don't know that I am. So Civil War. A movie we don't rarely or no, we do rarely. We don't often see movies on the same day anymore. But we saw it within mere hours of each other.
Yeah.
What was your theater experience like at the old Cinemark Playa Vista?
Was not very crowded.
Same.
Obviously, Tuesday night, discount night, only $6.25.
Huge.
Did the old hot dog, popcorn, water trio. What? Why are you sighing?
I don't know. It's not.
I mean, I hadn't been to the movies in a while.
It's not good.
Life just doesn't get any better than a hot dog, popcorn, trio.
Whenever we are together next, I really do want to do the hot dog, beer, not anything in the game.
Yeah.
That might be our first, that's our first Patreon episode. We do that and then figure out, although it's funny, I went to a Tigers game like last week. I had like 3 beers, I think, in 9 innings, and could barely finish.
Wow, so you were talking a lot.
Also, by the way, this is huge. Since the last time we recorded, I've been to Fenway Park. Now,
how do we not leave with this?
The site of Fever Pitch. Sorry.
What's going on, Jelly Roll?
Jelly rolled or rolling out of town. I don't know what that was. Went to Fenway Park by myself, the site of the feature film Fever Pitch.
And the town.
And I'm sure a million other things, right? Like, here's my thing. And it's not an indictment, really, because I think if I'm trying to think of like.
Careful.
Well, no. Most
Use
other.
Use your next words carefully.
Well, I will say 2 things. This is what I was going to say. One, I have to say I was a little underwhelmed with the feeling that I had when I walked out into the stadium for the first time. And I'm not sure that that's just because, like, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what that is. But I just, like, I'd been wanting to go to Fenway for so long, and whatever, had sort of been on like the bucket list of like stadiums, arenas to go to, whatever.
You know, the phrase "the bucket list" started with the movie.
Okay, that's enough out of you. The like, I still, every time I go to Wrigley in Chicago, where I've been 50 times, every time when I walk out there, I still get that like feeling in my chest of like, oh wow, this is cool. Even at Dodger Stadium a little bit, not quite as much. I didn't quite have that like I wanted to, I guess, at Fenway. I don't know what, like, I thought it was exceptional. I thought it was great. But like that feeling of just like, I don't know, feeling like I was like in like a holy sports place, I just didn't quite have. And that could be on me. I don't know. But I will say, the bar.
When did you go again?
Huh?
When did you go?
Day
what night?
After the marathon.
So the it was a Tuesday night game?
Yeah, Tuesday night. I will say, credit to, and you'll never hear me say this again, so clip the audio, but credit to Red Sox fans. I mean, like, that place was almost packed on a Tuesday night although the Red Sox are playing way better than anybody expected. But,
I know.
But that
well,
night,
I was wondering if, like, you know, there was maybe a lack of energy in the stadium because people are very annoyed at the team.
No, it was
although
packed.
They're hearing some games.
It was packed in there on a Tuesday night. So vibes were great. I got a great seat. I loved it. It was very cool to go.
Now tell me about Sweet Caroline. Did you sing along?
Yeah, sure.
Was it everything you ever dreamed it would be?
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, how have we not
ba,
talked
ba,
this?
Ba.
Hold on. This is actually interesting. You know, which 95% of the things I say on the show are not. So that was the Red Sox game I went to.
So good.
Wow. Okay. This is the PG version. The Red Sox game I went to. Well, so good, so fucking good.
Oh, they do that now?
Now? That's been a thing forever.
No.
Oh my god.
That's a new addition.
Wait, so okay,
Bobby
so
Brown
on.
Style.
This is actually interesting. Okay, so the game that I went to, the Red Sox game, was the quickest baseball game since 2012, right? It was under 2 hours. It was the quickest baseball game since Armando Galarraga's near no-hitter, which I was also at.
Near perfect game.
What did I say? Yes, sorry. Yes, thank you. Near perfect game, which I was also
I'm still at. I think I need proof that you were at this game.
Am I the only person who was at both? There's a good chance.
I mean, definitely.
There's probably some like beat reporter who like covered the Tigers back then, who's now covering the Guardians or whatever. But like,
yeah, maybe.
I was at both. Crazy.
Who the Tigers play in that game?
Ooh, man, good question. Don't remember. It might have been the Cleveland Redacted.
I'm not 100% sure. I believe that you were at the Armando Galarraga game.
I was at it with my brother.
I mean, no offense, but I feel like I might need proof because that's like,
how am I supposed to get proof?
I don't know, but that's just one of those
Hold on.
Ones. Like, yeah.
Oh no, it was against Cleveland. Shit.
All right. So maybe
there
were.
Oh no,
there.
I wasn't the only one. God damn it. That's interesting.
Wow. Wow. That is interesting. That's a good fun fact.
I was at both. I could not believe how fast that game.
Wait, did your brother go to the Red Sox game with you?
No, I went by myself.
Gotcha.
What I was going to say is the area around Fenway could do some spiffing up.
Spiffing up?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, it is.
No. It's fine.
Okay, did you get a hot dog at Louis Tiant's. I mean, a sausage at Louis Tiant's spot.
I don't know what that is.
You don't even know who Louis Tiant is. Louis, Louis, Louis.
Not ringing any bells.
Well, anyway, glad you went to Fenway. Glad OJ's dead. Glad I ran the marathon. Glad I'm winning the box office challenge. Not so glad that Quentin Tarantino's apparently not making his new movie.
Oh my!
But
the best news of the week.
That was the best news.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, Tarantino. Whatever. Take it or leave it.
What?
Come on.
I mean,
Tarantino, not Tarantino, yes. Okay.
you could have gone with Tarantine, yes. You had to say Tarantino, yes.
Listen, Quentin Tarantino, yes. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, let's go back.
Do I need another Quentin Tarantino, yes, movie in my life? Not really.
Oh, you got to get number 10.
No, not really.
Wait.
Fine, he can, it's fine. No, fine.
This is my question that I don't remember the answer to. I think he's already done 10, but he's counting
right.
The Kill Bills as one. Is that
I
correct?
Think, yeah, I saw somebody say something along those lines the other day.
Like, eventually he's just going to be like, well, I actually already did 10.
Well, also, like,
when
the
he
idea
realizes
that
that,
he's
like,
not, like, the idea that he's not going to make another movie, like.
After this, you mean?
Right. Like, what's he going to do? Like, lick feet the rest of his life? Like, he's going to. He restored the Vista. Oh, God.
He bought another one.
Grow up. I mean, grow up. Like, it's just not interesting to me. Quentin Tarantino, more like Quentino, yes. You know.
I mean, he's living the dream. He's buying movie theaters.
Let me tell you something right now. Quentin Tarantino, yes, is not living the dream.
No, he's licking feet. He's buying movie theaters. He's.
My two least favorite things on earth, licking feet, buying movie theater. Being a landlord and licking feet? Okay. No thanks.
So the movie Civil War. All right, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
By the way, did you go back and watch any
No.
other Alex Garland or no?
Certainly not. I mean, you know, as we discussed off pod, is that time of year now where, like, you know, as you can see, you know, every night we have, you know, especially now, like, I need to get you a bookshelf. I mean, it's just insane the way you live.
Well, I need to order some stuff.
All right, fair
I
enough.
Just moved.
Ooh, by the way, I'm going to plant a seed now for the listeners. Kyle Daniel road trip 2024. That's all I'm saying. We should do a movie. Wait, we go see famous movie theaters or like filming locations. Anyway,
like
what'd you ask?
We build it around movie locations.
I hate this guy. Oh, he's gone. How is the Charmin Bear becoming?
Should we go to the Field of Dreams baseball field in Iowa?
Don't
it exists.
Get
It's a thing.
Me started on Field of Dreams. Not for me.
What?
I do not like the feature film Field of Dreams. Okay,
we gotta watch it together.
I would. Now, I could be convinced. Oh, honestly, this is a really good idea.
Which
a
one?
Movie, a movie themed road trip, like go like famous filming locations.
Oh, we could just drive around LA.
Maybe just drive around LA.
What locations?
Go see what the Munchkins stayed in Wizard of Oz. Okay, I had a $20 mimosa there once. Worst day of my life.
We go to the Overlook Hotel. Oh, it just burned down.
Oh, that's right.
Did you see that story?
Yeah, I did. Where is that again?
So
can we go to this?
Either in Colorado or Oregon.
I was gonna say Colorado, but that could be wrong.
I think the exteriors were in Colorado, but then they shot the interiors at Oregon, and I'm not sure which one burned down.
Can we go to the Universal Studios Hollywood where that tram went off the tracks? Injuring so many people.
Imagine getting injured.
Can you imagine? That should be the entire episode.
What happened? I only saw a headline. Like, did they crash? Like, did the driver just...
The idea that you think I read a story. I mean,
well, I thought maybe you wrote the story.
You give me way more credit than I deserve.
I thought maybe you had to write it up yourself.
No. Yeah, I mean, God bless all the families affected by the Universal Studios tram going off the rails. It's just tough. You know, you go to a day at the park.
You know, I never really thought that's what going off the rails actually means.
What?
Literally,
of course.
Going off the rails. 15 people were injured. 15.
Did anyone die?
It doesn't appear to be.
We should get him on the podcast.
Here's a good article. Tram crash at Universal Studios Hollywood leaves over a dozen injured. What happened?
Such a good question. Honestly, such a good question.
Crashed. Several passengers fell off the tram.
Where
in the
did
crash.
The crash happen, though?
I don't know. I'm trying to get info here. Mm-hmm. Tram accident. What happened in the tram crash? Four-car tram had just passed a Jurassic Park exhibit and was negotiating a turn when the last car collided with a metal guardrail, causing it to tilt and eject multiple passengers. The California Highway Patrol said in a crash report for some reason. Why is the CHP investigating?
Because of the tram, the CHP is to get involved?
There was some type of issue with the brakes. We don't know exactly what happened yet.
I'm going to say they didn't work. Wow.
Why did the Highway Patrol get drugs and alcohol were not considered to be factors.
Now, hold on. You do know that way back in the day, I assume pre-TMZ, I went to a casting call at Universal Studios to be a tram tour guide. Did not get hired, did not get the job, unfortunately, but I did go.
Well, thank God you might have gotten injured.
Can you imagine?
You'd probably still be there.
I feel like we don't give the Universal Studios tram like tour enough credit for how cool it is. And now... What?
I've never been. I've never been to Universal Studios. Been to City Walk, been to the movie theater, been to the candy store. Never been to Universal Studios. Oh. What's that candy store called? Sugar?
Who knows? Were we
I think it's called
Top
Sugar.
Gun Maverick?
Yeah.
You've never been to Universal Studios?
No, I've seen it from when I've hiked the nearby hills.
Oh, God. Standing ovation. Get over it. You've never been to... That's crazy. I'm sure you've told
me. And I lived 7 minutes away from it for 15 years. I never went.
Maybe that's why. I mean, maybe that, you know, you're too close to the flame, you know? It's just like, it doesn't appeal to you.
I don't know why I didn't go.
I mean,
I'd like to go.
Well, also, Universal Studios does kind of suck. But like, next time I'm in town, we'll go.
Well, we'll start the road trip at on the tram.
Wait. Honestly, start or end. Honestly, that's a really good idea. Start or end the road trip at Universal Studios.
Should we do an episode where we do all the studio tours? Like, go to each lot.
Well,
it's funny. Like they're living here, but.
Well, does Sony have a lot tour?
I assume so, right? Why wouldn't they? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good idea too.
I've
I
never done
should
any
just
of them.
well, I
I've
should just,
driven,
I mean,
I've bombed around Warner Brothers on a golf cart a few times, but
I was thinking about like, yeah, we should do that. That's a really good idea.
Sony Lot Tour.
I mean, also, we have to go see Jeopardy.
Yeah, Sony Pictures Studio Tour, they have it.
See again, flying too close to the sun. I live within the shadow of it for 8 years.
$56.50.
I will not be doing that. So the feature film Civil War. So you went and saw it at the Cinemark Playa Vista. Here's what I will say going into it. I was excited. I was a little skeptical. I think based on the fact that like Alex Garland, who directed this movie, man, you should go back and listen to the Men episode. But his last movie, Men, is a movie that I just downright did not like.
Same. His
So
previous movies, of course, for those uninitiated,
thank you.
Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Correct, both of which I like a lot.
Same.
So, but I was excited, you know, Kiki Dunst, you know, friends call her Kiki, Kirsten. The trailer I thought was great. I liked the cast. I went in, but I still went in skeptical. I didn't quite know. I saw it in IMAX, not a true IMAX, but like a, you know,
Good
decent
clarification. Yeah.
size. Yeah. Thank you.
You saw it on a large screen.
I saw it on a large screen. I thought that Civil War was almost excellent.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where you were going with this.
I really liked it.
I know you love a good journalism movie, so I was wondering.
Listen, it's so true. It's
I
so
was like,
true.
he's either gonna love this or like hate it.
I really liked it, and I think to the point you're making, I think the movie has gotten some criticism because, so essentially, for anyone who hasn't seen it, which go see it, but you know, there's a
Yeah, I
Civil
mean, you
War
sat through
happening.
all this marathon talk, so yeah, go see the movie.
There's a Civil War happening in the United States, of course, and essentially the states of California and Texas have aligned and are sort of trying to secede from the rest of the country and blah, 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 blah. But the blah, 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 blah is something we never really get into. And I think that that has been a criticism by some is the fact that we don't really get to the heart of the matter of why the Civil War is happening. My argument is that it doesn't really matter.
And to me, this is one of the right. I 100% agree. It doesn't matter. I can't imagine the movie would be very good if they had tried to do that.
Totally agree.
Like, you're never gonna appease everyone if you try. Like, this is not like a, hey, you know, when politics go this far, this
But
is
it
what.
makes it, but to me, it makes it so much better because you don't know. Because even like at the end, I guess ultimately. A viewer like myself, I think in my gut, I think I'm probably supposed to like align with the secessionists, but like I don't really know. And like
Well, yeah, I mean, really, you're the only pieces of information we're really given about the war are the following. Let me know if there's anything I'm missing here. But at one point, you know, we get the opening with Nick Offerman as the president, you know, talking about the secessionists, and at one point we get a reference to it being the president's third term, which is obviously your cue to like, oh, this is like someone who's refusing to leave office, blah, blah, blah. That's really the only like political thing that gets thrown out there. And then importantly, the press, or sorry, we get other references to the fact that the, I don't know, so we have the Western forces, the secessionists, and the, I don't know what we call the other side, right? The current administration.
Sure.
The Nick Offerman presidency people.
The real Americans, quote unquote.
Well, there's another line where it says that they are killing members of the press in D.C. So, like, we have kind of, and clearly the secessionists want the press around. They're kind of protecting them. And so right. the only sort of, you know, thing about you rooting for one side or the other, which is not what the movie is that aspect of, like, this side is, you know, wants things to be seen by the press, and then the other side apparently doesn't.
Correct. Yes.
And I, but there's and no, I, like...
And I stand with the press. I stand with the press.
But then there's also quite a few wild cards involved. But my takeaway was, I think, similar to yours, where I really... So in the way that you're a sucker for a journalism story, I'm a sucker for just, like, a really tense movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this hit both of those notches. You know, the biggest takeaway of this movie is, like, one, it's super tense, and two, it's more about, like, journalism than it is about,
right,
about a war, which hits both our niche interests.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, exactly. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, like, it's a sort of movie where, like, if somebody were to say to me, like, I kind of hated that, I'd be like, I get it. But I thought that, like, it really was, I'm almost surprised, honestly, for a movie that is making as much money as it is, that it almost isn't causing more of a stir. Like, it's quite interesting, like, in an election year, blah, 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 for this movie that is, you know, in playing an IMAX, to end, essentially, spoiler alert, with the president being shot to death in the Oval Office.
Right, right.
You know, you're watching it and you're like, oh, okay.
And like, kind of important narratively is, it's like, it's done pretty much with glee, right? Like, it's not, yes. There's no reluctance. Right. There's,
right.
They're posing for pictures. They're smiling. By the way, sorry, this is a complete aside. Can you pan your camera to your left? I'm getting the corner of your TV, and the light changing on in the TV is driving me bonkers. Thank you.
That must have been so hard for you.
This is for the people on the Patreon who are watching the video version of the podcast.
Right. Like, so, right. Like, so much of the killing and violence is gleeful, right? Like, it is, like, this is a very violent movie, which,
yeah,
sort of goes,
yeah, there, I mean, there are some,
but yeah, like, there are some sequences in this movie that are, like, it's the sort of thing where even watching in the theater of, I we've probably had comparative sizes, like, I mean, only time we ever will, but there were, like, I don't know, 15 people in my theater, probably.
Sure.
Whereas I imagine, had I watched that movie, and I think people have said this too, but, like, watching it in a sold out crowd or a packed theater makes it that much more tense and that much more, yeah, sort of insane. Like, you know, I was watching it just sort of like, oh, wow. Like, we're all watching this? In a way that, like, I kind of wanted to be around a bigger crowd to watch it with.
Right. But, like, right. The reactions to some of the more,
yeah,
startling, I mean, and or gruesome or vicious moments.
I think it works on a lot of different levels. I think, first of all, I think the sound design of the whole thing is insane. I think the sound is, like, the main character of the movie. Like, the sound is incredible. Just the way they play with, like, silence and the cameras and all this, like, it's so...
Yeah, I've always kind of been a sucker for the effect that they use throughout the movie, which is like you're seeing things happening and someone who's taking pictures and then, you know, doing the little picture freeze frame.
And also,
It's like, oh, it just always works on me.
here's something I'll say. I've always found people who are obsessed with photography to be very annoying.
Sure.
And I think it's almost a feat of a movie where Kirsten Dunst, too, let's just put that aside for a second, and Kaylee Spaney, let's put that aside for a second, who these two sort of war photographers. Essentially, the movie is about war photography, which I don't know I thought going in, but like it works so well in a way that like
Right.
I
I think
think
I
is
wonder.
sort of difficult to do because like it's they're not they're sort of pretentious about what they're doing, but it's not in a way that makes you like disregard them just kind of being there as an affront to their entire personality. Like they genuinely, it seems like they want to be there to like do a good job and sort of like acknowledge the fact that they're there because they can do the job without getting all that other stuff in the way. And I think I think ultimately a really smart way to like tell this story.
Three thoughts.
Yeah.
One, I think they're sort of the way that they are, the way we talk about how they don't involve the politics in the story. You know, you don't really know what this happened to this war. That's kind of the through line, right? With the our main characters who are kind of distancing themselves from the politics that are happening in order to document what's going on. Thoughts number two and three. I don't remember.
Well, I'll tell you my thoughts on what I set aside. Listen, this is a Kirsten Dunst fan podcast, but God, I love her more and more. Like, she is so good in this movie, in my opinion. I thought she was so excellent in a role that, like, could have just been nothing. Like she does so much with her face and with her eyes, and she's so good. But then also, I think Kaylee Spaney, who plays the sort of younger, what's the word I'm looking for?
Protege.
Thank you. Protege to Kirsten Dunst's character. I think so easily could have slipped into like precocious, annoying, kind of like whatever. I thought she was so good. I thought, and like she just has this face that like I just very like so watchable, and just like she really, I was just I thought she was like a magnet. Like I really just liked watching her. She's this little like this spitfire of an actress. Like I thought she was so good. Just the two of them played so well off of each other. I think in these roles that like in other hands could have been very whatever, like the two of them to me make that movie. And I think they have to be really good in order for the movie to work well, because you do care for both of them and you want both of them to I guess essentially do well. I guess my one criticism, like we're talking about not getting into the details of the war, I could have used a bit more backstory on Kaylee. What's her name? Her character? I forget.
Jesse?
Jessie. I could have used a bit more. I didn't know what Jessie's whole deal was, basically. Like, you know, she claims to be from this farm in Missouri. Is that true? Like, where is her family? Why is she there? Like, what do her parents think about all of this? Like, what is her deal? She's
I
just
mean,
kind of
they had like a little one little thing about how, you know, her parents were pretending this a couple times. They mentioned her parents were
pretending
like
this
at
isn't
home in
happening.
Missouri on the farm, pretend that was kind of a through line. To me, she seemed like kind of the college graduate who's like, you know, wants to get involved and is, you know, politically active and
yes,
which and she's, you know, which, maybe comes from a family that.
I mean, there's nothing worse than a recent college graduate who wants to be politically active. I mean, the worst person on earth.
Well, of course.
I mean, let's just say maybe not the worst person on earth, but the most annoying person on earth.
Well, especially if they're obsessed with photography.
Well,
so kudos to her for
maybe,
not being.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying this given what's going on across college campuses at the moment. But I support all of them. But you know, the sort of young precocious photographer, you like want to kind of hate that person. But I never once like hated her. I thought she was. Again, just like such an expressive face. I thought she was great. Like, I thought she was excellent.
Good news. I remembered the things I was going to say.
Oh, great.
I will say first, though, on the character of Jesse. Great vomiter.
Wait, I know. Hold on. I had the exact opposite thought.
She was great.
No,
she
I can see it. I can see it not coming out of her mouth.
No, it was. What are you talking about?
No. I can see it. No. That was
great.
I could see that that was like very like tube, you know, out. I was like, no, you, I could
no,
tell.
No, that was really in her mouth.
I mean, she was if it was great, good for her.
She did have a couple lines that were a little rough. There's a scene when they're at like a they're in the bleachers at some stadium or whatever when that they're
of course trying to figure out what stadium that was the entire time they were
there. That was all I was doing for the majority of the scene. Couldn't figure it out.
No, me either.
It was supposed to be like somewhere between what, like Pittsburgh and
I think they said it was in West Virginia, maybe, but
yeah, maybe they had left Pittsburgh already. And anyway, the only thing that like really bugged me was a scene where the two of them are talking, and like the younger girl that is, she's talking to like a legendary photographer, and she's kind of like, well, and now I do this with like, she's like developing her pictures, but she's like, and really she's talking to the audience about how like the process of doing it. And it's like, well, you're talking to like Martin Scorsese about like how you frame up a shot. She was saying things in just a really weird, unnatural way to me.
Wasn't that some sort of way of like, yeah, I guess she's just like developing film. I guess Kirsten's character would have been doing that the same way, but like,
or maybe the point was she had some like, you know, new way of doing it or something. But she was kind of like an old school type, right? Her camera was old, and so it wasn't like she was the young whippersnapper showing the old veteran like. Yeah. New ways of doing things. I don't know. There were just a couple spots that bugged me in that sense.
I get that.
I want to go back to a point you made earlier, which is this is a movie about war photography. I think like that's what it's about. So really this easily could have taken place in Afghanistan or in Ukraine or where, like.
Sure.
But the like marketing hook really.
Yes.
Is like this is a US Civil War. And so I think a lot of people are going in expecting a very different movie.
Yes.
Agreed. So I think that's why some of the reactions have kind of been like, you know, some people have been down on it. So why, like you said earlier, when, you know, if someone said they didn't like the movie at all, you would understand that I'm kind of in the same boat.
Because yeah, right.
It's not necessarily what you might expect going in.
Yeah, fair. But like, yeah, I mean, for sure. But
great, brilliant marketing job. And like the idea that this is just called Civil War and it's about, you know, what it's about. But then really it's just a movie about war photography is kind of, that's why it's made so much money is the way it's portrayed.
Yeah, Civil War, by the way, has made $47 million in its first 12 days of release, which, like, we laughed about it when we did the draft episode about, like, Civil War? Ha, ha, ha. Like,
I think it's higher than that. I think it's at like 55, I thought, isn't it?
Oh, maybe. I literally...
I thought I saw that today. I could be wrong.
I'm seeing 47, but...
Sorry.
You know, we believe in different gods. Shrek 2 again, you know, just outside of the top 10. Yeah, like, it's a type of filmmaking where it's just almost crossing that line or like turning the dial too much into like, I'm making a movie, where it's a little sort of like audacious or like film bro-y for me in a way where like there are some times where I'm like, oh, like I'm very aware that I'm watching a movie. Do you know what sure. I mean? Like some of the action sequences and the violence and all of that, like it's
like very stylized. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's very stylized in the way that like it takes you out of it for a beat, but in a way that I didn't really mind. But like in a way of like, it's an experience. It's an experience. Like the narrative through line of it, I don't know that I was there the entire time. And I guess that gets back to like, if someone were like, I don't know, I just didn't really like it, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. But
yeah. Yeah.
It's
I don't think it's a movie that I'm gonna be like thinking about forever, but I was very much invested and into it the whole time. And
I thought some of the song choices were fun, and also like it.
Yeah,
it is a movie that like, God, I mean, not to sound like the most boring person on earth, but like it's not a movie that's afraid to pull any punches. Like,
well, I mean,
it is what it is. It goes there, right? Like, it's a movie that goes there. Okay.
So, I mean, this is a movie
that goes there.
This is what's happening in America. You know, this could happen.
It is. It's exhilarating. Sorry. It is exhilarating to watch a movie that is at least doing something, you know? Like,
agreed.
You know, yeah. Whether or not
it's shooting its shot.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And that is, there are a lot of shots being shot. Also, that real quick, before you're getting into your point, I mean, to live in the time of Jesse Plemons, it's just such an honor.
One of the points I was about to bring up, okay, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
Do we want to, I've got two positives and two negatives.
Oh, okay.
Left that I want to hit briefly.
Okay.
You tell me where to go. Positive or negative first?
Well, I think we got to go negative first.
Okay.
I'm scared now. If you're about to say one of the things I want to say positively, you're going to be in trouble.
No, I don't know. Negative. They're too close.
They were too close.
Like they're too close. Like back, like they're too close.
What, who?
Their time, the photographers, like,
oh.
you need to give a little more distance from the soldiers. You're too close. And like there was a scene early on where like they're talking about how, you know, you got to wear your vest and your helmet, and then like later in the movie they're just like not wearing helmets.
I thought
are we doing, like the soldiers are running around with their helmet and they're right next to them but no helmet. Like there are bullets being, put your helmet on and you're too close. So you're like,
also, why, something that I thought, I hope this isn't your next point, but like for all this talk about how like, I mean, I guess they always do identify themselves as press, right? But like, it feels like they would want to sort of keep that secret based on where they are. The fact that they're driving around in a truck that just says press on the side felt a little odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea was that they're kind of embedded on the side that like
on either side.
Well, I guess there's that, but because of those lines we talked about earlier where they said they're, you know, executing journalists in DC, but the other side they're basically doing it for the other side, which is like, you know, wants the press around. and they're kind of moving in tandem with those soldiers. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I
Anyway.
guess. What's your next point?
All right, well, I'll do a positive one here. Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Now, see, I was worried that was going to be your negative.
Oh, no. You thought
He's
I wasn't
so
going to like
good.
him?
No,
He's
well,
awesome.
I don't know. I don't know. He would, God, just
He's
not.
like the epitome of one of those actors now where, like, if he shows up, you're just like, yes. Like, perfect character actor.
Oh,
Like,
yeah. I mean, come on.
yeah, he.
Drive when, I mean, that's when I wanted to be in a crowd full of people, is when he was driving that fucking car into Jesse Plemons. Like
Right.
I wanted to be in a crowd full of people for that.
Yeah, that was just like a holy shit. After, like, that scene had like three holy shit moments,
Yeah. So
obviously.
that was good stuff.
I say we end, let's end with a discussion of Jesse. But finally, my last negative that I really like. You know, it's always tough to like nail the end of a movie, and I actually think the very end of the movie they did a nice job, but. The moment where like they're just going into the White House first at the end with like before without any soldiers in front of them and stuff, I was kind of just like, this can't. I guess this kind of plays into the too close aspect of it, but like that took me out of it for a second when I was, and like, you know, obviously it's just a
Yeah.
movie thing for it, but like they're like, the soldier looked over and was like, well, the press is actually going into the White House. And like, maybe we don't have who we think we have. And I was like, okay, hold on a second here.
Yeah, no, I
There's
know. I kind of had
three
yeah.
of them just like strolling in.
Well, it was yeah, like it was very funny that like all of a sudden like this inexperienced like 22-year-old photographer like joins up with like the best war photographer in history and like all these people trying to do stuff and all of a sudden like 2 days later she's just like t taking the most important picture in American history. She's like doing all this shit that nobody else wants to do, I guess.
How it
But
goes sometimes, though, you know?
I guess so. Yeah, and good for her. I'm glad she didn't run out of film. Yeah, I mean, I was while I was watching it, I was wondering like, how was this going to end? Like,
Yeah.
feels like a pretty obvious ending, I guess. But like, and then it sort of ended the way I was like, oh, okay, well, that was what I thought, I guess. Like.
And I liked the you know, the journalist stopping the soldiers from executing the president, being like, hold on, wait, and then they're like, oh yeah, okay, like to get his last words, like that was a
Yeah,
good
wait,
scene,
what did he
but
say? Please don't kill me
please
or
don't kill me. Yeah.
please tell me. Yeah. Yeah, good for him. Now, did you think Kirsten Dunst looked good in that dress?
No.
I love the fact that like Jeff, like what was the point of Jesse buying clothes there?
I forgot that she bought clothes.
Like, oh, you bought something, Lee? No, Jesse did. Okay.
I mean,
Wagner
she
Moura,
hasn't been,
who we
she
haven't
hadn't been
discussed somehow despite
fully
being the
jaded
lead.
yet.
Yeah. Wagner Moura, despite being the lead actor in the movie, we haven't discussed once yet. That's the kind of podcast I like. Let's just talk about the women.
Like this hat. He should have bought that hat in the store.
Yeah, he was
How about
something.
that store, by the way? Just, yeah, we're just,
That was so odd. Like,
things are normal. And I also like when he was like, don't make it obvious, but like check out the roof. And then like the camera tilts up to like see there, and it's like extremely obvious. You would never have missed in a million years that there are two people standing. Like they weren't like laid down as like snipers
no,
or anything. It's a guy
right.
in like an orange shirt just like standing up on the top of the building.
Yeah,
It
unbelievable.
was like, oh, if a photographer didn't see that person was up on the roof, like she should have been fired.
Rest in peace, Lee. Ugh. Speaking of Lee, you wanted to end on her real life husband?
Yeah, I think we kind of have to, Lee. Right?
We have to.
I mean, first of all, to go from Landry
to go from Cruiser Victorious
to like show up in this movie, like to show up in this movie and just light it on fire for whatever it was, probably a 5-minute scene.
And also, not only just to show up on, like, let's just say it together. 1, 2, 3, looking hot.
You like those sunglasses?
Oh my, like, those sunglasses. Isn't it so funny, though? Imagine that scene without him wearing those sunglasses. It is not even close to being the same scene. Whoever made that decision, whether that's wardrobe or whoever, that's Alex Garland, Jesse himself, I don't know. Absolute stroke of genius.
Well, I've just been trying to, since I saw it last night, I've been trying to think of, like, if you had plugged somebody else in that role. Like,
I do think there are others, but I
do too, but like, too often you kind of get the sort of generic crazy guy performance there. And like, there's just something about his energy that like lends itself to believability.
Well, and what's interesting too is like, I assume Kirsten being involved helped, but like, you know, Jesse Plemons, I mean, not that he's like Brad Pitt, but, you know, he's in pretty much every good movie these days. For him to show up for like one day on set for this thing is sort of remarkable in a way, you know? But that's
it's like
what he does in essence, I guess, and he does it really well.
Yeah, it's a great lane to have. But yeah, totally. Like, he's without a doubt the hottest actor of anyone in this movie.
Well, okay. I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
What?
I mean, Wagner. What's his name in the movie? I mean, he's hotter.
What do you mean?
He's
hot. Fame.
Oh, when you say hot, I get excited.
Sorry. I mean,
I mean physically, but
I'm just like reiterating your point.
For sure.
It's kind of crazy that like the biggest name in the movie, you know,
yes,
and by today's standards shows up for 5 minutes.
Yeah, for so, like, sure. I know.
Yeah, you know, if he had wanted to, he would be like the lead of the movie.
Well, that's why, I don't know. That's why he's so interesting and cool. Like, that seems like that's all he wants to do, right? And, like, I feel like that is, I don't know,
I'm sure this comparison has probably been made by someone else at some point, but that element that he has reminds me a lot of, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman, when he would just, when he wasn't necessarily leading the movie, like early in his career, when he would just kind of show up on things and just like, who is that guy? Just like taking over the movie for a couple scenes and then he's out. Like,
that's a good
kind of has that that vibe, the evolutionary Philip Seymour Hoffman, perhaps.
I mean, who would have thought going back to, you know, Dylan High School, you know, that Landry would be the one. I mean, maybe we should have seen it coming all along. I mean, like,
well, we certainly saw his dark side there.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because it could be an entire episode. But like, if we think about the cast of Friday Night Lights, it is almost, I don't want to say shocking, but like, you really would think at this point that like, more people from that cast would have, I guess, broken out. But like, it's him. Can you even say Michael B. Jordan? I guess you can. But like, you know, we went down.
It doesn't really entirely count, but
we went right. Like, we went down the, you know, Taylor Kitsch. We tried with him. I think we tried too fast, too soon.
But right, like, he certainly got opportunities.
Yeah, but really, I don't. I just nobody else really. Like, they're all doing okay.
Well, I mean,
They're
are we
still
counting?
working.
Are we counting Kyle Chandler?
No, I'm talking just like the youth, like
Okay.
Yeah, like the young cast, you know, like Zach Guilford as Matt Saracen,
Right.
like working, doing stuff. Amy Teagarden as the best character on the show, Julie, working. I think, you know, of course, did
kind of, yeah,
UC, you know, she did take a UCB class when I was at UCB.
What's Tyra's name?
Tyra?
Yeah.
Adrian Palicki?
There it is.
Yeah, she's working. You know, they're all working, right? Like Smash, like Titus, whatever.
Guy Charles.
He was on Grey's Anatomy for, like, you know, I don't know what he's doing now, but like, even like fucking, you know, Minka Kelly. Like, the fact that Minka Kelly isn't the biggest star in the world is one of the great travesties, I think, in modern pop culture. Did see her, of course, once at Stella Barra.
Ooh, nice.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, like, it is interesting. It's like those moments of, like, when a star walks in the room and it takes your breath away. You're like, I get it. Like, you know, you just...
She hit like that?
Oh, wow. I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. I mean, a star. A star. And apparently I wasn't the only one who agreed, but, you know, she is now...
She was in a few episodes of Euphoria.
Oh, well, a show I haven't seen. I mean... You four. I mean, you. Well,
very minor character, but
yeah. You know, I mean,
that was her, right? I'm getting that right, right?
I don't know.
I need to confirm
whether or not Minka Kelly was on Euphoria. It doesn't really matter because you've performed an excellent transition here, 66 episodes in, as just
it was.
And well, if Minka Kelly's in Euphoria, I'll finally watch Euphoria. Now it does not. It is funny. It was like, it felt like the euphoria of it all when people were talking about season three. There was like a day when everyone was like, no, like we want to come back. Like we want to come back. And then like, it felt like then Zendaya was like, yeah, I don't really care. Like it's fine. And everyone else was like, oh, thank God. Somebody said it. Speaking of Euphoria, our next
episode. Okay.
It's a big test for Zendaya. As we have said, Motion Picture Challengers comes out this weekend. Man, a movie made for me. Let me just say that. Starring a woman, a couple good-looking dudes, about tennis, from the guy who directed Call Me By Your Name. Listen. That is a wah, that is a wee, that is a wah, that is a wee. Wait, wah, wah, wee, wah. That is a wah, that is a wee, that is a wee, that is a wah. This
no,
is...
you still did it wrong.
Who cares?
That is a wah, that is a wah again. And then that is a wee, and then that is a wah.
That is a wah, that is a wah, that is a wee, that is a wah. Okay?
There you go.
Challengers is a wah, wah, wee, wah movie. Okay?
That's a fact.
And the biggest... You know, of course, the biggest storyline going in is, you know, controversially, I did take away the title of that girl from Zendaya after her performance in Dune Part 2, which I did, you know, deem to be a little underwhelming, despite the movie being one of the great cinematic achievements of all time.
Boo.
She has a chance to earn it back in Challengers this weekend. Listen, I fully expect her to. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait for Challengers, which I will not be seeing until next week, probably because as I found out when I attempted to leave my apartment today, I can't get out of my parking garage because of the National Football League draft. So won't be going to the movies. Like I've been getting all these emails about like parking, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, eh, it's fine, whatever. I went outside today. Oh no, I cannot get out.
Till when?
Don't know. I don't know. I assume until Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. But I mean, I could read the email, I guess. But who knows? We'll see. But listen,
that was fun.
challengers cannot wait.
Oh, and also, yes, John cannot wait for challengers. I'm very, very, very excited. And for those of you that were expecting the primate episode, it's coming. Don't worry.
It is coming. Listen, are we going to be
Kingdom
discussing...
or whatever it's called of the Planet of the Apes? Got that trailer again?
Oh my God.
Are you familiar with the concept of evolution? I mean, all time line reading.
Will we be discussing Godzilla versus Kong 2 months Ooh. After it came out? Yeah.
I need to see that.
Yeah, me too.
Gonna see that? Gonna see Monkey Man?
Oh my.
We got time.
We got, well, yeah, we do have time. Well, also, I mean, we got challenges. We got the Fall Guy next week. We were going to do a Ryan Gosling episode, which I still think we should do. Because there are a lot of Gosling movies I want to go back and watch. Namely, honestly, La La Land.
Oh. You know, I've never seen Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, my God. So good. Wait, have you seen Blue Valentine?
Yes.
Oh.
I haven't seen the one where he's the teacher either. What's that one called? He got nominated.
Half Nelson. I know. Half all Nelson. Of these, I know. I want to go. Yeah. Now I'm getting excited now.
Have you seen The Notebook?
Honestly, you know what? Would be fun to rewatch The Notebook. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I bet that,
have
I
a
bet
good,
that would
have
be
a good
really
cry.
fun. I bet that would be really fun.
I cried the last time I saw The Notebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who are you? I don't know you. Jenna Rowlands, classic. I don't know you. I used to quote, well, we used to quote that line all the time. Jenna Rowlands in The Notebook, looking up at James
Vanderbeek.
God, what is
James? Oh, God.
James, The Notebook, of course, James. Now, The Notebook cast. Now, Vamp Garner.
There you go.
When Jenna Rollins looks up at James Garner and goes, I don't know you. A great moment. A great moment. An underrated moment in cinematic history when Jenna Rollins doesn't recognize James Garner.
Oh, you know what I never saw?
What?
I feel like we kind of have you ever seen All Good Things?
Yes, I have actually. It
oh,
took me
okay.
a
I've
second
never
to figure out what that was, but yes.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Our boy.
I know. It's
by the
which
way,
by the way.
Have you watched it yet?
No, have you?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I don't
know. We're talking about the Jinx season 2 here.
Well, I saw yeah, I just don't I don't know. I'll watch it, I guess, at some point, but like I am.
I'm looking at Ryan Gosling's filmography right now. This okay. is going to be a fun episode.
I know. We have to get back to it. I do. Yeah. That'll be a fun exercise to go back and watch a lot of these. Because I love a
I'd love
lot
to get back to The Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, my God. A movie I saw in theaters, of course.
Me too. Never saw Only God Forgives. Unfortunately, did see Gangster Squad.
What's Only God
Forgives? Oh, the night. Yeah, that's that the Drive guy. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Wait,
Nicholas Winding Refn, however you say.
Every day is a winding refn. I think I saw that. And then the
The
nice
Gray
guy.
Man. Oh. Yuck.
God, the Gray Man I saw.
Oh,
Wait.
I gotta rewatch First Man. Huh.
Oh God. I don't think I'll be doing that. I'm going to make a list of like 5 or 6 Gosling movies to rewatch.
I think we need to figure out what Gosling's Mount Rushmore is.
Now, do we do that before or after? I like where we're talking like 2 episodes in the future here. I think we both make our Gosling Mount Rushmore on the episode. I think that's what it is.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. After we watch every movie he's ever been in.
That sounds so fun.
In preparation.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to say this will be my last statement of the episode, and it's a huge hot take, and it won't make sense. But when you go to sleep tonight, everyone listening, you will be like, you know what? He was right. Ryan Gosling? Underrated.
Okay.
And that's
I'll let it breathe.
And that's all I have for tonight. Listen, I love you. I'm so happy you ran 26.2 miles. I don't know how you did it. An unbelievable feat that not even I can like make fun of you for. Incredible. And you're the best.
Wow. That was nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, bud. Love you.
Love you too. Challengers. Oh yeah, baby.
Challengers. Gosling. So much on the docket. Oh
yeah, honestly. This is just...
we were talking about Gosling so much. I knew he made some comments about the nice guy. We'll have to get into this.
I know. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, we'll get into it.
Jesse Plemons is the new Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I think that's a good place to end. I think that's right. All right. Yeah. I'm going to the front lines now. Why do I always do this at the end of the episode, like people can see me. I get like, I don't know. I'm giving my standard peace sign. People were getting mad at me, like every photo at my grandpa's funeral this weekend, I was giving the peace sign.
Why are people getting mad about that?
I don't know. People didn't like it. Like, put down your grandpa peace didn't sign. Like peace? My grandpa loved peace.
Well, shout out to your grandpa.
Yeah, thank you. All right, love you, brother. Till next week. Game set.
Oh boy.
Challenger.
Ace. Deuce. Double deuce.
Double deuce is not a tennis phrase.
Sure it is.
Double deuce?
Well, it's a bar. So I was trying to connect the couple episodes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.